From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue the series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. This do in remembrance of me. It seems then that Christians may forget Christ. There could be no need for this loving exhortation if there were not a fearful supposition that our memories might prove treacherous. Nor is this a bare supposition. It is, alas, too well confirmed in our experience, not as a possibility, but as a lamentable fact. It appears almost impossible that those who have been redeemed by the blood of the dying Lamb and loved with an everlasting love by the eternal Son of God should forget that gracious Savior. But if startling to the ear, it is, alas, too apparent to the eye to allow us to deny the crime. Forget Him who never forgot us? Forget Him who poured His blood forth for our sins? Forget Him who loved us even to the death? Can it be possible? Yes, it is not only possible, but conscience confesses that it is too sadly a fault with all of us, that we suffer Him to be as a wayfaring man tarrying but for a night. He whom we should make the abiding tenant of our memories is but a visitor therein. The cross, where one would think that memory would linger, and unmindfulness would be an unknown intruder, is desecrated by the feet of forgetfulness. Does not your conscience say that this is true? Do you not find yourselves forgetful of Jesus? Some creature steals away your heart, and you are unmindful of Him upon whom your affection ought to be set. Some earthly business engrosses your attention, when you should fix your eyes steadily upon the cross. It is the incessant turmoil of the world, the constant attraction of earthly things which takes away the soul from Christ. While memory too well preserves a poisonous weed, it suffers the rose of Sharon to wither. Let us charge ourselves to bind a heavenly forget-me-not about our hearts for Jesus our Beloved. And whatever else we let slip, let us hold fast to Him.
Yeah.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Currently on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns has been conducting a series of expository messages on the Epistle to the Romans. Today he begins a message called The Spirit of Adoption. The text is found in chapter 8, verses 15 through 18, in which the Apostle Paul shows that, having delivered believers from condemnation through the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the Holy Spirit brings them into the liberty of God's adopted sons and assures them that by adopting them, God bestows upon them glorious rights and privileges. The unsaved live in bondage to sin, which in turn produces the fear of God's judgment. Through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, believers in Christ are freed from that fear. Now Dr. Cairns will introduce this message called The Spirit of Adoption.
We're turning this evening to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read a very brief passage, verse 15 to the end of verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to the end of verse 18. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. In his treatment of the great truth of justification, the Apostle Paul emphasizes, very particularly at the beginning of this chapter, he emphasizes the change that takes place in a believer's legal status before God. In verse 1, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." That is a fundamental change of legal status. Outside of Christ, unsaved, in Adam, we are under condemnation. As Paul puts it elsewhere, children of wrath, given over to the wrath and curse of God. When Christ redeems his people, it's from the curse of the law, according to Galatians chapter 3, that curse being divine condemnation upon human sin. So justification led Paul to deal with this fundamental change that takes place in the legal status of a believer before God. And that naturally leads him to deal with one aspect of that change of legal status that is very often overlooked. And that is what the Bible teaches about adoption. Now, that's a subject upon which very little is preached. It's a subject upon which even less is understood. I have often heard people wonder, well, if you're born into the family of God, how does the Bible say you're adopted as his children? Those two things don't seem to go together. And of course, the mistake is not realizing that the Bible uses many metaphorical descriptions of things that are true in themselves, but they're not the only truth. For example, the church is called the body of Christ. He is the head, we are the body. That's true. That's a wonderful description. But that same church is also called the bride of Christ. And though many of the old-time dispensationalists would turn in their grave to hear me say it, in other scriptures, even the wife of Christ. So when you come to the new birth and adoption, you're not talking about things that are opposed. You're talking about two distinct aspects of the work of God for the salvation of a sinner. I'm not going to be dealing with regeneration and the new birth tonight. Going to leave that aside. That speaks of the mighty act of God's grace in changing the moral condition of a believer so that he's no longer dead in trespasses and in sins, no longer completely corrupted, incapable of even cooperating with the grace of God or any other spiritual good. He's now a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's made a partaker of the divine nature. So, I'm going to leave that aside. Adoption is a very specific act of God. As I say, too often overlooked. Let me give you a very basic definition of what adoption is. It is an act. It's not a work. It's not an activity. It's not a process. Like justification, it's an act of God's free grace, whereby God receives us into the number and gives us all the rights and privileges of the sons of God. He brings us into the number of his children legally, and he confers upon us all the legal rights and all the privileges that belong to the sons of God. Now, this act of God is an act in which he acts alone. There is no participation on the part of the sinner. There is no merit that we bring to the table. There is no helping hand that we give to the Lord. This is purely and entirely and completely an act of God that he exercises in pure, free grace. Now, when we receive Jesus Christ by faith, we receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit as he comes in his ministry, and he, we'll explore this a little in the text tonight, he begins to witness to us as the Spirit of adoption. He begins to deal with us to show us what it is to be the adopted children of God. So we come to these few verses that we have read together this evening. You've heard me say many a time, and I commend this to all the young preachers and would-be preachers, that you do this with every single text you ever preach. And even if you never announce it to the people, yet you do it. You're not ready to preach until you have done it and can do it. I've listened to so many preachers meandering all over the show, talking they know not what about they know not what, for what reason they know not, and for what good I was not able to discern. But part of the reason is they don't do their homework. You come to a text of Scripture, before you do anything about preaching it, you've got to be able to take that text and put it in your own words. What exactly is this text saying? Now, that should be as simple as ABC, should it not? Yet it's the most difficult step that any preacher has to make. What exactly is it saying? I looked at these verses, and I think the message is very simple. At least, simple to announce, if not to preach and understand. Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit of God brings believers into the liberty of God's adopted sons. And he assures them that by their adoption, God confers on them unspeakably glorious rights and privileges. The Holy Spirit brings believers into the liberty of God's adopted sons, and he assures them that by adopting them, God confers on them unspeakable and glorious rights and privileges. In the verses before us, we can trace five great actions of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of adoption. First, he leads believers into liberty. Verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You have not received the spirit of bondage, but you have received the Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption. You see, right on the surface of this text is the truth that sin brings slavery. The Lord Jesus says, whoso committeth, whoso practiseth sin, is the slave of sin. We hear an awful lot of talk about man's freedom, man's free will. There's a huge controversy going on in London just at this point in time, because the lunatic Professor Dawkins and his group, his atheistic group, have taken out some advertising to put on the side of London's double-decker buses that tells the people there's probably no God. So go ahead and enjoy yourself. One bus driver just flatly refuse to drive the machine. You want to put that garbage on to drive it yourself. But that's not my subject tonight. But you see the idea, of course, there's probably no God. It's a long way from what Dawkins has been spewing out for the last couple of years. But the idea is go ahead and enjoy yourself. This is human liberty. Great freedom. The reality is there is no slavery like the slavery of sin. There is no bondage like that bondage with which sin in its practice and in its evil nature binds a man. It binds him in mind. It binds him in will. It binds him in heart. It binds him in body. It binds him in every relationship. It curses every part of his existence with a diabolical slavery. And with that slavery, sin brings fear. Unjustified men are not only in bondage to sin, but they're in bondage to Satan. And they live under the condemnation of God. That's the seed from which the fear grows. But the Holy Ghost leads out of bondage, and he leads out of fear. It's a wonderful text in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The mark of the presence of the Holy Spirit is liberty. The blood-bought birthright of the people of God is liberty. When the Spirit of adoption comes to a man or a woman, he sets them free from the slavery of sin. All sin will fight. Sin will oppose. Sin will attack. The citadel of man's soul will have the armies of hell attacking at every gate, the eye gate, the ear gate, every other gate. But thank God the Christ of God is in possession. The flag of his residence is flying high. The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Christ, brings liberty from bondage and from fear. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He's truly free. In other words, any man who does not have the freedom that justifying grace brings is not free at all. There's so much talk about liberty and spreading liberty. And I am all in favor of political liberty, far, far better than political bondage. But let's realize that fundamentally we're only talking about something on the surface. The souls of men do not know freedom until they know it in Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. If the Son sets you free, you're truly free. If the Son does not set you free, then no matter what other freedom you have, freedom of speech, freedom of travel, freedom of belief, freedom of whatever you like, you are in bondage of the worst kind. There could well be people here tonight, and your own heart tells you that. You know exactly what it is to be in bondage. Behind the smile, there's a slavery that you can't break. I want to tell you, God, the Holy Spirit, is the omnipotent Spirit of glory and of grace, and he brings liberty, the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.